Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another episode of Panning the Stream. I am Dan Reichert, and across the table from me is my wife, Bianca Reichert. How are you doing, honey?
I am great. How are you?
I'm doing great. I'm comfy. We'll talk about that in a second. But right now, you should hear fading out a new theme song. This is some original music from Tom Monda. Do you know how to pronounce this?
Monda, like Honda with an M.
Monda, like, oh, it's like you've said that before. Weird. Okay. Yes, Tom Monda from Thank You Scientist put together this theme song. Incredibly quickly. It seems like he had like a day where he just kind of threw this together, and I like it a lot.
Yeah, he did it in a day. He's awesome.
Yes, for those that don't know, Tom Monda is Bianca's brother. He is the force behind Thank You Scientist.
I would say that's accurate.
That's fair
yes,
to say?
Yes.
Okay. Extremely talented guy, and thanks a ton to Tom for the theme song. And also, speaking of upgrades, we, for the first time here, are not sitting across a bed from each other. We are sitting, we've got a table between us. We've got microphones attached to arms. We got damn foam stuff on the wall and everything. This feels like an actual operation we've got going on
here.
So
much more comfortable.
It's so much better than hunching over a single microphone. We got two microphones. I have two microphones now.
Mm-hmm.
Which, it's kind of surprising that this actually came together as well as it did, because watching the show we watched this this week, Canada's Worst Handyman, was just giving me flashbacks to all of my terrible history with trying to put anything together. But I guess I was able to at least put this thing together just through maybe osmosis of working.
Well, it wasn't as if you were really building anything from scratch.
That's true. There was no actual, like, handiwork?
No, you attached foam boards, or what are they called? What's it called?
Acoustic paneling. Okay. Acoustic foam paneling.
Okay. You attached that to the wall.
Uh-huh.
And then you put together a table.
I spent $34 on a, or no, it was 34 inches. I don't remember how much the table cost. There was a 34 involved somewhere. I'm not sure. Rule 34, that's what that refers to.
Oh, okay.
So yes, I unfolded that. I had to break down the boxes. I had to take, there were some tools involved.
I'm the one that usually breaks down the boxes. I'm definitely the one that flattens all the cardboard and tapes it up together.
You do that. For a long time, you did not allow me to do that because I was bad at that.
Well, it's just if we're both available to do it, I'm a lot better at it than you are.
Yes.
It's just chaos with you somehow. It descends into chaos. Like, way too much tape.
Chaos.
It's, like, not square.
Chaos.
The word. Somehow, Dan, you're so bad at it.
Just fire and screaming and sirens. And
It's scary. And, you know, I'm welcome to you helping out around the apartment when you want to do the dishes and stuff. That's really great. You do a really thorough job with that. But as far as, like, laundry, I wouldn't want you to do laundry.
What am I good at around the house? You said dishes. Is there anything else, literally?
No, just dishes.
Just dishes?
Yeah,
okay, that sounds dishes. About right.
Yeah, because, I don't know, I would always worry that, like, I don't think since we've been together that you've done laundry once.
I have not.
Oh, no, actually, there was that one time when I was super drunk and hungover on Halloween.
Oh, right.
And I, like, threw up all over the blanket, and you needed to wash the blanket.
Okay, I did a good job with that?
No, because when you didn't put it in the dryer long enough, and, like, I went to wrap myself in it because I was in bed, like, all day, and it was still super damp because you didn't put it in the dryer long enough, and you put it in there with, like, a bunch of other stuff when it was, like, way too big to be in there with other stuff. So you didn't do a good job with that, and that's why I do the laundry now. But you're good at the dishes when you occasionally will do those. That's really great.
Sorry, I was distracted. I didn't hear any of the stuff I was bad at because I was just admiring how great this acoustic foam paneling looks on these walls.
Yeah,
be married to a really handy dude.
You put the hell up of those 3M sticking Velcro strips.
Which they constantly fell down, so I got different 3M strips, and now I'm just using weird double-sided tape. So.
Well, yeah, you recently put super glue on the Velcro strip to make it stick.
I couldn't find that, so I got some double-sided. Tape.
Oh, you couldn't find the super glue?
No.
In the utensil drawer?
No.
I keep it there.
We'll keep you updated on our Twitter account at Pan the Stream about whether or not I ever find the super glue.
Mm-hmm.
During this show, it was a lot of thinking about my own capabilities or lack thereof. This is Canada's Worst Handyman, which this was on Netflix. The whole idea behind this show, if you did not watch it, is we watched season 3, episode 1 and 2, if you want to watch that before continuing this podcast episode. But they put out a nationwide, across the nation of Canada, they border us to the north, a request for nominees. Yeah, it's right up there. There's like three countries. There's, you got Canada, then you got the States, then you got Mexico down there. And that's all.
That's, like, those are the only countries?
Well, just, and just like, there's like seven. It's a whole thing. But basically, our whole thing is just those three.
Okay.
Okay. And so they're our neighbors to the north. And so we want to find the worst handyman in that whole, it's a big country. It's
probably a stupid question, but is Greenland not part of North America?
Are they a country?
I think it's a country, and like Iceland.
Iceland's in the jurisdiction of Europe, I believe. Iceland's like off the coast. That's the Bjork country. That's off the coast of like Great Britain and all that.
Yeah, I don't know
Greenland.
Geography that well.
Well, Greenland is a big old hunk of land. Although I think it varies in depiction based on whether you're looking at like a Mercator projection. I think that's a thing that you can say. I don't know. I have a very low understanding of maps and everything. But Greenland can sometimes look gigantic on a map, but it's completely out of proportion.
Interesting.
Yes, yes. But you're right. It is kind of off the coast of Canada. So I think Greenland is its own country. In fact, maybe I've just thought my whole life that there were three countries in North America just because there were three like main ones I think about. And then
the only ones you were confronted with on the news.
I guess that's true. Not a lot of news coming out of Greenland.
No, what are they even doing up there?
Probably fishing, I would assume. If you're in Greenland, give us an email at panningthestream@gmail.com. Let us know.
Yeah.
I probably don't have any listeners there.
If you're listening, guy or girl from Greenland, we think you're really special.
We do.
Thanks for listening.
Yeah, let us know. We'll send you a Panning the Stream prize package if you happen to live up there. I can't commit to that at all.
It will just contain cream savers, pocket lint, and super glue.
Yeah, there you go. Well, you know, it's on the state flag of Greenland. State flag. Anyway, so we've got Canada's worst handyman here. So they put out this nationwide request for nominees. And so you got these five people that are in the running to be the worst handyman.
They are definitely among the worst.
They are bad, although, well, I know we're going to get to this, but I sat there and I really had a come to Jesus moment with myself, and I realized that all five of them are significantly better than me.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God.
Like, all the mistakes they've made, I have made, and they... We'll get to that. Like, I made some notes about, like...
Oh, I didn't know it was that bad.
Oh, I don't think you quite... You've been married to me for almost a year. We've been together for three-plus years.
We've lived in apartments, so it's like whenever there's an issue, we could just call the super.
We call the super, I get a Task Rabbit guy.
So, or a Task Rabbit guy. The one time you've taken the reins... I remember, like, I don't know if it was... You had off from work, or it was during the weekend or something, but you were like... Bianca, I'm going to have a really productive day. I'm going to do all this stuff, hang the paintings in the living room and do all this other stuff. I remember what ended up happening was you weren't able to accomplish anything.
No, I spent...
And the most egregious failure was the fact that you couldn't hang up paintings on the wall because you were trying to drill into the wall using, the screwdriver bit or
yes,
something?
Yes, this was the moment in my life where I learned the difference between a drill bit and a screwdriver bit. Apparently, Drew Scanlon would do much better at any of this stuff than me. I guarantee that.
Absolutely.
Drills are apparently versatile pieces of machinery, and you can not just screw things in with screwdriver bits, but you can also take those little bits out and do things that are just for drilling holes. Mm-hmm. So I've owned a drill. I've owned a few different drills for the last several years, and I have only ever used them with the screwdriver bits, like the Phillips head screwdriver. Like, there have been several times I've had to drill in. There are several times that I have had to drill into walls, and I don't change. I figure, like, that's what a drill is.
What
the
does
thing
it mean
with the
to drill into the wall? Just blink wildly at it?
You got to study a World War I obscure fact for hours and then make a Patreon video, blink a few times, and then it's done. So I never even known what, like it will come with a bunch of bits and stuff when you get a drill.
Yes.
And, like, really tiny, skinny ones and everything. And I would just look at these and, like, I wouldn't decide that they weren't good for anything. I would just, my brain wouldn't even register that those were physical objects in front of my face.
Knowing you for as long as I have, I totally understand that. Because you just tend to not see things.
Well, if I don't understand what something is, or
if
I don't recognize it.
If you don't understand it, you cut it out, like, of your eyes. It's like someone takes a picture of what you're seeing, cuts out the part that you don't understand, and then that's what you see. Just, you see reality without the things you don't understand. So you're never confronted with them. You never force yourself to learn them. You just don't pay attention to the things you don't get. And everyone thinks, oh, there's no way he can be that silly. But, like, no, you super are. And it's not because you're dumb. It's just you don't look into the things that you don't understand. Unless you're interested in them. If you're interested, you will go for it.
It's zero or 100 with everything. I'm either the most interested or it doesn't even exist in
my brain. Exactly. If you're not confronted with it in some capacity, then you just won't even think about it.
But, yeah, you talk about how if I don't know something, it's just not in my brain at all. Like, I've walked through Target or Walmart or grocery stores a billion times in my life, and I feel like there's almost like some like thing in my brain where it's like if I walk by, let's say the like makeup aisle, like I know there is such a thing as a makeup aisle or several of them that exist in Targets and Walmarts and stuff, but it's like my brain doesn't even see them. My brain only seems to see the things that are useful and relevant to me. I don't seem, and like that's not a good thing necessarily.
No.
I guess in some ways it allows me to really focus on the things that I care about, but like it also leaves me at a complete dearth of information or knowledge about things like handyman type stuff or whatever.
Of course, yeah.
Yeah, you referred to the thing with trying to put the pictures on the wall. And so I was just trying to drill into our wall, which again, okay, so we just watch these episodes. I've heard of studs. I know what they are. I know they are like vertical pieces of wood.
They're not just muscular guys.
They're not just muscular guys.
Oiled up dudes.
Oil, yes. Oh, my God.
Striation.
Oh, Gary, striation. So studs are these things that I assume hold up walls or something, but I also don't know, like, okay, we're sitting right next to our wall here. I swear to God, I've tried to drill into these and it's extremely hard. So I don't know if this is plywood. I don't know if this is concrete. I don't know if this is brick. Like, I honestly have no idea.
I don't think this is concrete.
Okay, it's really, really hard to drill into or hammer into.
Well, remember what they said, the walls were brick in the living room, and then they, like, covered it up with, like...
So they put some wood or something, or some plywood or something over it?
Or something like that, I don't know.
Okay.
But that's why it was so hard, but also you weren't using a drill. So anyway, we ended up hiring a TaskRabbit guy who did all the paintings for us and did a really great job. So we can't even hang pictures.
Well, I hung something today.
Well, yeah, but I didn't want to say anything, but it's way higher than the adjacent picture.
But that's the whole thing, because I measured that for another thing, and that was centered. That was centered.
That's why I said it didn't matter where you put it ultimately. That's why I said just do what you want. You could put the paintings where you want. But now that the smaller painting is there, it looks like way higher than the other painting.
It does. That's because I could put it lower, but you'd see the hole then that I drilled.
No, it's fine. It's not that bad. It's just, you know.
Yeah, I noticed it too. Those things bug me. By the way, for the record, we are talking about two different images of Vegeta from Dragon Ball Z that... I had to decide which Vegeta image went above the trash cans and which one went between my NWO belt and the Macho Man painting. You know, it's a cool guy apartment.
A woman lives in this apartment. Can you believe it?
Hey, don't act like you don't like DBZ.
No, I love it. I love it. And I'm the one that got you like 90% of those belts.
So. It's true. And a lot of the stuff on the walls and everything. So, the nominees that are all better than me at this stuff are, we've got Casey. He is a cop. And also, each one of these people comes with the person who, like, inducted them.
Right. Or nominated them. Right.
So, it's mostly all their wives, except for Charmaine, who we'll get to. It's her daughter,
Tina.
And Joe's
a sister. Right?
That's right. Yeah. So, we've got a sister. We've got three wives, a sister, and a daughter. So, Casey, the cop.
Sounds like a fun video.
Yes. So, his wife, Marnie, nominated him. Casey... Not a whole lot going on with this dude. He seems just kind of, I don't know, dumb.
Some, like, Jordan Schlansky qualities him, right? Like, at times. Yeah. But, yeah, he just seemed kind of like Miller Road regular guy. Obviously very incompetent.
Not a lot of personality going on there. Just kind of some blank slates.
His wife really takes the reins, I feel like, in most cases. She seems to compensate for his lack of handy skills.
Yeah, yeah. She
handy
seemed good.
Skills?
Oh, handyman ability? I don't know. We got Tex. Tex is a scrawny little dude.
Of course we have a guy named Tex.
In Canada, yes. Which, a lot of these people seem like Southern. Like, Tex and Charmaine seem Southern, but by definition, everyone here in Canada is north of us. So they've all got that kind of, like, Minnesota, I guess, Canada accent. I guess in Canada, they don't say they have a Minnesota accent, I guess. But they've all got some very Northern North America accents.
Oh, boy.
Tex, he got some house. Some landlord gave it to him because the house was in such shitty shape.
Oh, yeah.
It was like, here's a fucking house. He, like, got a grant from the Canadian government or something for $16,000 to, like, renovate it because it's such a, like, falling apart piece of shit.
Yep.
Yeah, he got nominated by his wife, Tara. So we've got Dez. Dez, I hate more than anyone on this show.
God. Yeah.
He's an unemployed guy. His wife, Jenny, nominated him. And he wants to renovate his entire house, but he sucks. And, like, there's all this footage of his house and all these projects that he started, but then it's just exposed stuff on the ceiling and everything that he never finished. So he's bad at the handyman thing, but also he just seems like he sucks.
He's a shit person. I have a lot to say about Desmond. I'll share later, but yeah, he sucks.
His attitude, like, it's him fucking up all the time. And then...
Blaming it on his wife.
Yeah, Jenny being like, hey, you're fucking this up. Like, trying to say it in a nice way. Mm-hmm. And his response is always, do you want to try this? Yeah. Do you want to get down here and try this? And at one point, he flips her off.
Yeah, he literally gives her a thing. But, dude, he's the contestant. So he, like, just by definition, he's the one that has to be doing it.
Yeah, Dez sucks ass.
He's a whiny asshole.
Yeah, he is, without a doubt, my least favorite person on this show. Mm-hmm. We've got Charmaine. She seems like a southern lady, like I said, but maybe just rural is the right way to put it. She was nominated by her daughter, Tina. Seems like Charmaine just has a bunch of, like, weird, crafty ways of, like, kind of, like, DIY Etsy-type ways of trying to, like, fix things, yeah, which don't always work.
Yeah. I will say, Charmaine seems like she enjoys doing handy stuff and crafts and stuff, but, again, which is very, very bad.
Yeah, she doesn't seem good at it, but also, like, I did not dislike her as a person. Like, there's not any real, you know, drama with her in these two episodes.
No, she seems fine. Yeah, but, again, we've only seen two episodes, but, yeah, she seems... totally fine. And then Joe the Bullet
Barbaro, which is probably one of the more entertaining characters from the show. He is just a big, bald, meathead type dude who, in the opening thing, when they're all walking down the street or whatever, he's got like a 15-pound barbell or dumbbell, and he's just curling it as he walks down the street.
And he's got every cliche tattoo there is. He has snakes. He has dragon. He has Asian characters. He has tribal tattoo.
He's got the Italian flag on his neck.
Italian flag on his neck. It's like all he needs are those praying hands, and he would like have like every cliche tattoo there is.
Yeah. Imagine way worse tattoos than like Randy Orton, and you've got Joe the Bullet here.
I will say about Randy Orton's tattoos, he has all those skulls, right?
He has a lot of skulls, but he's also got a lot of like tribal stuff and all that.
Well, the skulls, which look like newer, right? I feel like the tribal stuff is probably early 2000s. It's usually
I bet, but if we looked at 04 Randy Orton, it'd be a lot different than now.
Yeah. The skulls are well done. Lame, but
yeah. Joe is a dollar store Randy Orton here.
I wouldn't say that.
That's too much. Is he like 20 cent store Randy Orton?
No Randy Orton relation whatsoever.
So we got his sister Rita nominated him, and so that's our five folks here. So that's who we follow throughout this. So apparently this is a whole like season long thing where it's like, which of these five? It's not this rotating cast, mm-hmm, like on Hellevator or some other shows, right, we've seen. So basically the idea is we've got this mansion. It's super deteriorated, and the goal is
very old
mansion. We're going to turn this first floor into a bed and breakfast by, mm-hmm, the end of the season, mm-hmm, and we're also going to crown, like, I guess we're going to crown who the worst one is, right, but they also have the ceremony at the end where they say who the most improved is. So I don't know if there's like a prize at the end here. But like no one here in the show seems like they're trying to play stuff up for the camera. No. Like these don't seem like Hollywood type people. They seem like they might actually be just shitty handymen.
Right, yeah. It seems like you ever get that feeling when you don't completely understand anything and you just go into it thinking it's going to be impenetrable. So you just don't even bother to truly read the directions, and like you just kind of are like, whatever, this isn't going to work out anyway, so I'll just do whatever. Like totally disregarding. But that just seems like what they're doing. It's like they convince themselves that they can't do it.
Yeah.
I feel like Tex, more than the others, are like actually somewhat, like he tries. He's obviously really incompetent, but at least he tries. Everyone else is kind of like,
they seem kind of like give a shit. Annoyed to be there. Like, yeah, especially like Dez, it's just a lot of huffing and puffing. Like, wow, this won't work. Do you want to do it? But like Tex kind of sucks at this, but he at least has this kind of like can-do attitude, which I don't know if that's healthy or not, considering he can't do, but he is at least like, okay, we'll get this done. Yeah, we'll put all this fucking, like, sawdust. I cut this thing too short, but if we pack enough sawdust and glue between the wood here, like, that'll work, which is totally, like, that's how I would think if I just had, like in this one, they're trying to build a stud wall, right?
For a cabinet.
Yeah, and one of the studs he just builds is just way too short for the top part of it, and he just shoves a bunch of sawdust and glue in there. And I guess if I were in that situation, that's a similar thing that I would do, because, mm, I don't know, what's the alternative? Like, do you have to go buy more wood and recut and take everything apart and basically start from scratch, right?
I have no idea what the approved solution for that would be.
I know who I would ask. What's I would that, ask babe? Jeff Woodmansey.
Oh,
Jeff
Woodsmansey. Oh, can we talk about his name for a
yes,
second?
Yes, please. Yes.
So there's this thing called an aptonym. Have you ever heard of it? It's like when your name is really weirdly appropriate for what you do in life or what your, like, characteristics are.
Would it be like when I worked at the call center at KU and I had to call a baggage handler whose name was Todd McLuggage?
Exactly.
It'd be like that?
Exactly.
Okay.
So this guy's name is Jeff Woodnensy, which is amazing.
Yes.
And can I have a list of examples of other people with aptitudes?
Yes, please.
Can I share?
Yes.
Okay. So Jules Angst is a German professor of psychiatry who published works about anxiety.
Okay, perfect.
Michael Ball is a football player.
Okay.
Colin Bass is a British bassist in the rock band Camel.
Okay.
Sarah Blizzard is a meteorologist.
Perfect. Isn't there a famous Stormy Fields meteorologist around here in New York?
Yeah, I've heard that name before. Margaret Court is a tennis player. Igor Judge is a Lord Chief Justice. It's really fucking... British people are so fancy. Amy Fries is an American meteorologist.
Perfect.
Chris Moneymaker, poker player, is a professional poker player.
Wow.
Sol Price, founder of the of Costco. Anthony Weiner, obviously.
Oh, sexting naturally, scandals. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which, if you're looking for something to stream, that Weiner documentary is really something.
Oh my God, when his wife is in the room and they're talking about it. And then,
God, it's some of the hardest stuff to watch in the world.
Oh my God. And anyway, on the flip side, there's inaptonyms, which is when people have names that are like really like ironic and inconsistent with reality, like Frank Beard from ZZ Top.
Yeah, yeah.
The only member of ZZ Top to not have a beard.
Totally.
Don Black, who's a famous white supremacist. Larry Playfair, an NHL defenseman known for his fighting.
That's great.
I really like that. I was really tickled by it. I remember growing up in school, there was a girl whose last name was Contractor, and her dad was a contractor.
That's really good.
That's so simple.
I called a guy from that same call center whose name was Jobby Jobson. And keep in mind, these are not fake, because for it to be in our system, that had to be what's on their fucking college like graduation certificates. He was unemployed. Jobby Jobson was unemployed. I always thought Brock Lesnar was a really appropriate name. Like, it's not a noun like the other ones.
Well, I don't really think that is what this is, but it is like...
It's not literal, but like, you look at that guy and it's like, okay.
Of course his name is Brock.
Yeah. Brock Lesnar, of course. We've got Jeff Woodsmanzy.
Oh, I forgot to tell you, Dan, the name of the host. Did you catch the name of the host?
I didn't know.
Andrew Young Husband.
Weird. Yeah, we just watched Port of Call, Bad Lieutenant, the Nicolas Cage movie, and there's a guy named Jeremiah Goodhusband. So, like, that must be, like, husband must be, like, a part of a surname that you can get. Like, it seemed like there must have been an era where there's a bunch of, like, you know, Shoemaker and those type of
names. Yeah, so, like, oh, you're a husband. And
you're a good husband. Yeah, your name's Jeremiah, and Jeremiah Goodhusband. So Jeff Woodmanzy is this super capable dude whose job is basically to stand around and just stare at people and be like, oh, Christ,
you're
idiot.
You're doing it wrong.
Yeah, and then show them how to do it right. Like, he gives them classes every day and stuff. And they get a ton of tools. They get, like, jigsaws and all this stuff. Like, they get everything they need to succeed here. Yes. It's just their dumb brains that are causing them to not do great.
Okay. I mean, dumb brains. Let's not go too far. You just said that you were worse than all of these people.
That is true. I'm exaggerating. And I have a dumber brain than all of them. By far. I'm exaggerating. So the first thing they do is that there's a padlock on these rooms that they have to renovate, and there's three screws on there, and you got clips of, like, Joe trying to just, like, hit it with a hammer or whatever, and this is one of the few things in this show that I think I could have done, because it was some kind of weird screw. It wasn't like a Phillips flathead.
It's like
Phillips or a flathead. It was, like, some crazy, like, hexagon screw, which I would have just found the right thing and done it. I wouldn't have tried to brute force it, so... That was one early on in the show where I was like, yeah, maybe I'm not as bad as these people here.
Okay.
Because they're just, like, breaking it off and doing dumb shit. And like, stripping the, like, I understand how you can strip screws and all that stuff.
Oh, yeah. Dan's showing off his carpentry knowledge a little bit here.
Yeah. I'm going to do a lot of bragging on this podcast. So the tone of the show here is very much like a lot of, like, people fucking up, and they're just like, womp, 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 you know, goofy music and stuff. It's a very lighthearted show. A lot of, like, close-up shots of the wives with the husbands
just
in the background.
Being so disappointed.
Yeah, and the wives just being like, oh, boy, like, he just sucks at everything. He just can't do the electricity. He can't do the plumbing. Nothing like that. If you need to know anything about the tone of the show, there is at least one point, where somebody throws something off screen and you hear a cat meowing. Like, they put in that meow, that sound effect. So that is the tone we're working with here. It's just these people get a lot of challenges. They have to build a stud wall for a closet. They have to build a workbench. They have to insulate windows.
They have to put in a safe.
Yeah, wall safe. They have to plaster a hole in the wall. And then it's just a lot of, like, people fucking up. There's, you know, people sawing through the desks. They're screwing stuff to the floor. They're trying to, like, cut things with a hammer.
Yeah. Cut things with a hammer. Exactly. The water mains leaking.
Yeah.
You know, they didn't solder anything right.
Yeah. Using a golf club as a ruler, which I think they had rulers there. Oh, no. That's when they were showing the, like, home stuff. Like, look how dumb this guy is.
The blade on their saw is loose and they just keep fucking trying to use it.
Well, the most egregious for me is, like, they show clips of Dez at home. And Dez has, like, little kids running around. And he tried to put some molding in or something. And he just gave up and it didn't work. But he left all the, like, super exposed nails.
Oh, yeah.
All
literally planks of wood against the wall with nails. Like, the point of the nails going right up. If you're, like, there are little children in that house. Inevitably, or that's going to be a disaster. Yeah. It's fucking crazy. So fucking unbelievably lazy.
We saw, like, a quiet place. That can be dangerous.
Yeah. It's one thing if, you know, he's just some bachelor. But if you have fucking kids, like, that's so dangerous. That is just unbelievably lazy and inconsiderate. Dez sucks.
Dez is fucking terrible. Like, I think he's the only person on the show that I think I actively disliked. Like, there are people that do dumb stuff here, but again, nothing that I wouldn't have done. Even, like, Joe, who is kind of pitched as the dumbest guy of the group, he seems fine.
Yeah.
He just seems like kind of a meathead guy.
Yeah.
Charmaine, there is a funny part where she does the total Spinal Tap thing, where it says, build this thing 8-0 feet, and she reads it as 80 inches. So it's totally the Stonehenge Spinal Tap thing, which I liked a lot.
This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil, now streaming, only on Hulu.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Lots of clips of Joe solving things by just taking a sledgehammer to it. There's so much B-roll.
He just tends to brute force. If he was, like, a character class in RPG, he'd just be, like, the brute force, like, front lines.
Yeah, it's all giant. Melee damage, all like, melee no magic, damage. Zero magic.
He'd have, like, a rage ability, like yeah, zero magic, zero intelligence, zero charisma.
So there's one point where there's a challenge where they just send everyone a big piece of plywood. And the challenge is you have to make a 3D object that would support their weight and stand 40 centimeters above the ground.
Right. So this was the home project that they did after they got cast, and I assume before they, you know, started the actual show.
Yeah, they, like, shipped them a little kit to be like, okay, film yourself working on this. And this is the point where I thought, like, okay. Yeah, I was still trying to kind of measure myself up against these people with knowledge. And I was like, okay, how would I do this? Like, if I was just given a big piece of plywood, mm-hmm. and I said, build this thing, mm-hmm. support your weight. And I swear to God, this was my honest-to-God idea, which is dumber than all of the actual people,
mm-hmm.
Is I figured I would take this giant square of plywood, and off the edges, I would cut, like, two or three or four long strips, like, very long, narrow strips.
Okay.
And then I would cut them into, like, squares. Like, imagine I cut them into a ton of little coasters, like 40, 50 coasters, like, that size.
Okay, Dan,
and square.
Go on.
You get it?
Yeah.
All right. Then I would make four stacks of coasters. I would adhere them all with super glue to, like, I would make them all the same height. So
oh,
it wouldn't
okay.
be obvious.
Yeah,
so,
the same height. Oh, okay.
And then I would place the remaining square of plywood over the top of it.
Yeah. So you would make, like, a table?
I guess. Like, I mean, I was just, when they said, like, make a 3D object that will do this, I was just trying to picture, like, the first thing I pictured was a thing that would hang from the ceiling and have, like, a long flat thing. And, like, I just couldn't even wrap my head around where to start. And then I decided, like, oh, okay, I'll make the coaster table.
And then you realize that you're never going to be in a scenario where you have to do this, and you decide to stop thinking about it.
Yeah, at this point, I'll just call TaskRabbit.
Yeah, when I was a sophomore in high school, I was in DI, Destination Imagination. Did you guys have that when you were in high school?
I bet we had something that was just named differently.
It was like a problem-solving thing with, like, kind of improv elements to it and everything.
It's Science Olympiad. I don't know if that's
the same thing. There was, like, things where you had to, like, solve the problems on the spot in front of judges, and then other things where you, like, built something beforehand. Okay. But so the thing we had to build was, it had to be a structure made out of just playing cards, and it had to support as much weight as possible.
And did they have, like, little actual, like, weights that they would, like,
they had, place on there? Like, oh, that's cool. Like, what are they? What are those? Barbells? No, the circle weights that you see in gyms.
It's just like weight plates, like a 45 pound, you know, plate or
whatever. Maybe there's a real name for them.
There
whatever.
Probably is, yeah.
Yeah, so they put those on top of the structure to test it, and ours was so sturdy that they ran out of weights to test it with.
Oh,
yeah,
wow.
Yeah, it was really good. We had this genius girl, Sam Cohen. Shout out to Sam. She ended up going to MIT and stuff, but she was like majoring in architecture and stuff, so she was already like crazy beautiful minding the whole thing. And I think she like single-handedly did it. I feel like the only thing I did was make a giant papier-mâché mask of Gene Simmons.
Do you still have that?
No, I don't. Yeah.
That's too bad.
Yeah.
So yeah, there's a lot of like montage stuff of, hey, can you believe how stupid this guy handled that problem? And like the stupidest one was Casey like wanted to build these four little wooden teepees and put the flat thing above that. And everyone's like, God, what a dumbass. And I was like, actually, that sounds better than my fucking coaster tower idea.
You know what's funny about the show? I feel like with a lot of these shows, you watch it and it's like, oh man, this person's so dumb. Like, how could they think that, or how could they act this way? But with this, with Cannon's Worst Handyman, it's like, it's so relatable. Like, I'm like, I would probably do a similar thing. I feel like it doesn't make me feel bad about myself. It just makes me feel like, oh, I can totally relate to these people.
We're not the only ones that are like this. Basically.
Yeah.
Like, I wonder what the intended audience is. If it's, you know, for people that know what they're doing and they just want to be like, oh, God, look at these dumbasses. Or right. If it's people like us that are like, yeah, that I could see myself doing that.
Well, it also has, like, it's educational in a way. I mean, it does teach you how to, pretty straightforward way, kind of how to do that stuff.
Honestly, there was a lot of that stuff where they were saying, like, what are you doing? Like, you can't use plaster like glue. Mm-hmm. And I was like, shit, I think I always thought plaster was kind of like glue.
Oh, man. So, yeah, we were planning on looking into buying a house at the end of this lease.
Rethinking that now?
Well, yeah. Well, wait, we have been actually rethinking that. But, like, it's just another reason that's like, oh, man, we would have to do all this stuff by ourselves.
TaskRabbit will still exist in Jersey.
Yeah, I just hope, you know, you can swallow your pride and just hire people.
I would do that, but, like, also, I do want to learn this stuff, but I know that I have a very long way to go. And for instance, there was a part here where they had, like, a 10-question quiz with all of the five people, where it's like, have you ever fixed a leaky roof? Have you ever fixed a leaky faucet? Have you ever done tiling? Have you built a fence? And they asked 10, like, 101-level questions here, and I literally hadn't done any of them.
Yeah, I mean, I think that makes sense, though. I mean, we don't have a property. Like, we've been renting property. So why would we fix or do any of those things?
I mean, I'm almost 34. I've been living in apartments since I was 18. Yeah. You know, so I guess.
But I'm all for you, like, learning how to do stuff. Yeah, that would be awesome if you could figure out how to do this shit. That'd be so cool. The only thing is, like, so much of this stuff is, like, if you fuck it up, it's so destructive. So it's like, how do we figure out a way to practice this stuff that is, like, cost efficient and won't actually damage anything?
There's not a lot of room for fucking around and making errors, because those errors are suddenly going to cost thousands of dollars. But I don't want you to worry too much, honey, because actually just earlier today I spent a couple hours and I built a pretty sweet Labo house.
Oh yeah, that was a cool Labo house.
And little buttons on the side, yeah, little crank.
Yeah, you know what? Maybe we can get that house after
I think
all.
We're fine.
In fact,
actually,
let's just buy a
break
lot of property
lease.
And
yeah.
Then you could just build it from the ground up.
Houses are made of cardboard and Nintendo teaches me how to make it, right?
Yeah, with fun, groovy tutorial music.
Okay, great. All right, I'm set then.
So, yeah, you'll be good.
Just a couple other things I was thinking about here. Like, like, you were, the day that I said I was all productive and stuff, one of the things I was trying to do was I was trying to put the, we had these tall, skinny, like, media cabinets where we would put all the Blu-rays and games and stuff. And, like, I wanted to adhere them to the walls so they wouldn't fall over.
Yeah.
And,
like, because they were kind of, like, wobbly. Like, they were a little unstable.
Yeah, and somebody said, like, I don't remember what Google I did that told me, like, to get these, like, L brackets or whatever. And so I walked to this hardware store, and I bought these L brackets that were just comically too large. And I tried to drill into the wall, again, with the screwdriver bit. So I just, like, fucked up the wall into the brick, or whatever the fuck this is. And then also into the skinny, like, IKEA-level...
just particle board.
Particle board. And I hope to find these pictures. If I do, I'll tweet them out on the Pan the Stream Twitter account. Because between that and when I tried to drill all of the wall-mounted DVD shelves in my old Minneapolis apartment, and they all collapsed one on top of each other and just basically tore down a good chunk of the wall, and also all my Blu-rays and games and everything just went everywhere. I was sitting there, and boom, 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 boom. Like, it was nine separate fucking shelves. I had more movies and games than I even have now.
Yeah, yeah. You know what I'm remembering now, too, Dan? The day where you tried to be productive and all this stuff went wrong, you ended up doing absolutely nothing or accomplishing nothing. You also tried to install the bidet, remember? You were going to put
That didn't work at all.
Well, I will say in your defense that you successfully installed the bidet in San Francisco. That was great. But we tried to do it here, and didn't work out. But...
because in San Francisco, they had this bendy tube thing coming from the wall to the toilet to, like, fill up the tank or whatever. And here, it was just this metal thing. Mm. And so I was trying to do the unscrew thing that the bidet instructions told me to do, but it felt like it was just going to break this fucking little copper thing. Which, by the way, speaking of copper, like, water things and everything, I have no idea how electricity is wired through houses, how plumbing is wired through houses. So this is the first time I've ever even seen, like, the concept of, like, oh, crazy, they cut this fucking water pipe in half and put a copper cap on it, and they're, like, soldering it. Like, they have this, like, blowtorch thing. Like, I was just watching this, and it's all just, like, watching... I might as well be watching, like, Blue Planet or something. Like, what a crazy thing lives under the ocean. I've never even thought of such a thing.
It's absolutely captivated. You know, it seems straightforward enough, but I feel like you also need to have a trained hand to be able to, like, make those confident cuts and everything. You know, it's definitely not as easy as, like... was it Jeff Woodsmanzy makes it look, you know.
He makes everything look easy.
I'm not trying to defend these people, but, you know, I think they're kind of like probably represent most of us.
Yeah. So that's the show. It's just a lot of people fucking up. You get kind of the ceremony thing at the end where it's like, hey, you've improved the most. You suck the most.
Yes.
You get a little golden helmet and you get to lead like the team activity on the next episode if you win. So I know you've looked up some stuff. I do not know who wins
season. Well, let me just say one thing. So part of the show was they had to, like, obviously they each had a room that they were going to renovate themselves. And they had a theme for each of the room. Like, they decided what their theme would be. Did you catch wind of what those themes were? They were so absurd.
That one person painted the, like, naked mermaid thing, the one with the palm tree.
So Joe's room was the No Mercy room, where he painted the walls blood red.
Wait, hang on. Is this stuff that you've looked up that happens later on?
No, this was in the episodes that we watched.
Did they elaborate on that? Because I don't even remember that.
Yeah, it was blood red, and he called it the No Mercy room.
Really?
Yes. Charmaine was doing a serenity room. Remember, she wanted to put a palm tree in the corner?
Yeah, I definitely remember the palm tree.
She was like, oh, yeah, we'll put a palm tree there. And her daughter's like, that's an awesome idea. And then Dez is doing a tropical paradise room.
Okay.
Tex has the pinup room with that girl on the wall.
Okay, that's Texas.
Like, obviously, the very nicely illustrated, like, Sailor Jerry style pinup.
Right.
But, like, not really appropriate for a
B&B. It's just some bare ass boobs right there. Yeah.
And then Casey did the chocolate and vanilla room, which I can only assume was brown wall on one wall and then maybe white on the other.
Like, I have no idea what colors work well together. You definitely do. That sounds bad.
It's not like brown and white clash, but it's just ugly, a really weird choice.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever been in a room that has that.
Yeah, no. It's I also, like, they never specified, oh, your rooms have to be themed, so it really tickled me that, like, their first ideas were to, like, give
them. Oh, I know what we'll do here.
Like, it's like mini golf course. So let me share a little bit about Desmond.
Yes, please.
Our favorite contestant. So Desmond, he was unemployed in the show, but apparently he works as a hypnotherapist.
Okay.
And, like, it's so obvious just reading a little bit about this guy that him and his wife were just milking his 15 minutes of fame for all it was worth.
Wait, and this is the 15 minutes? Canada's Worst Handyman?
Yes.
Is this a huge show in Canada? Do we know?
I'm not sure. It's not ongoing.
Let's just assume this is, like, the Voice of Canada. This is Canada's X Factor.
I think that's probably too, like, I think those are too popular to compare it to this.
I'm sure, yes.
He wrote a book about being on the show. So his name...
Wait, self-published?
I didn't get that.
What a loser.
So Desmond, his last name is Nanassi. His book was called Nanassiville, Our Reality Behind the Reality. And
people were clamoring, honey.
And Desmond, he runs a fan site, or at least he did run it. It's not, I checked and it isn't running anymore.
Fans.
So if any of you guys are interested in buying DesNation.com, it's available. So after they were on the show, as we noted, he was like an asshole to his wife and just like a miserable, whiny ass.
Divorced?
No. I don't know, maybe, but that's not what I'm going to say. So after the show, they got a call from another casting agency saying like, oh, we want you guys to be part of this talk show where you talk about your experience on reality TV. So they're like, yeah, sure, let's go. So the show is hosted by Howie Mandel. And
is he Canadian?
Yeah.
Okay.
So they end up, they go on the show, and so Desmond thinks it's that show about reality TV. His wife knows that really it's a show where they're all going to attack him for treating her like an asshole.
Oh, it's like Tool Academy. Show.
So anyway, like they're all like criticizing him, like rightfully so. The audience is calling him a pig, like screaming pig at him.
There's like a live audience?
Yeah.
Oh, this is great.
And then eventually it's revealed that it's all a prank. But it just seems like, is it really a prank if it's like kind of true? Like he was super a jerk to her.
Yeah. And also, you need to remind me after this show, after this recording, what that is. Because hell, if that doesn't sound like another candidate for Pain in the Stream, I would love to watch that.
So that show was called Howie Do It. Howie Mandel.
Okay.
Howie Do It.
No promises yet, because we have to look up if that's available, but I would totally do Howie Do It.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the show. I mean, it's fun. It's not bad. I like that they don't follow the typical format of like voting off some person or whatever.
Yeah, it's just kind of watching the progress or lack thereof of these five, you know, mostly well-meaning folks outside of fucking Des.
And they even seem to be kind of discouraging interpersonal drama that most reality TV shows try to like really fuel the fires of.
Yeah, they definitely try to milk it with a lot of shows, but there is definitely that part near the end of episode two where our host guy is like, hey, say 10 nice things about Des, Hammer Man.
Yeah, because Joe was a jerk to him. But Des was being an asshole, too.
Yeah, definitely doesn't seem to be about, like, the interpersonal drama.
It seems
way more about, like, okay, you guys suck, let's make you better.
Yeah, so I think this is a good show to just, like, throw on in the background or something. It's funny. And you learn some stuff if you're curious about getting into that yourself.
Yeah.
I definitely learned what not to do.
Yeah, totally. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed what we watched, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But that will be it for Canada's Worst Handyman.
Mm-hmm.
Next week.
It's a big week for us.
I think we've got a special here.
We've been looking forward to it for a year.
We have. We were looking forward to this long before we knew we were going to make a podcast. So, Eurovision is next week. It is this Saturday. It'll be on May 12th. And if you have not seen Eurovision, this is something I was turned on to when I started working at Giant Bomb. I would hear a lot of chatter around this time of the year from folks that worked there. Apparently Eurovision is a gigantic worldwide phenomenon, which I had not heard of before.
For those in the European Union.
Oh, I guess is it all... Oh, it's Eurovision. I was like, wait, is it just Europe? Oh, it's literally fucking called Eurovision. Okay, yeah. So it's the Europe song competition thing where it's... The production value is insane. So, like, each country, like, picks their... Who's going to represent them. It's like the fucking Olympics. It's like, okay, you were the ones. It has to be, like, unknown people. So it's not like you're doing some dream team where, you know, Europe can't send the fucking... Who's the hot band? The Stones? Who are the hot band in Europe right now?
The Stones? Like, the Rolling Stones?
I'm trying to think of a, like, modern... I know they're not actually the thing. Who's popular in England right now?
Who is popular
Lana in England? Del Rey? Is she English?
No, her whole thing is like California, like SoCal. I don't know. That's like her whole
Let me try to name a single. Wait, One Direction. Wait, did they break up?
I don't think they're around anymore.
There's the Harry Styles fella.
All right, let's keep going with this. What else? Let's see.
What else? Europe?
Yeah.
Current?
Yeah.
Tori Amos?
Dan.
She seems European, right?
I mean,
right?
She's around.
Is she European?
I don't even think she's European. I could be wrong.
She probably isn't. I know One Direction's a European thing. I think they just do X Factor. I think that's where all their stars are from now. I know it's Spice Girls, but that was like 97 or something. I don't know modern American bands.
Tori Amos is from North Carolina. Yeah,
okay, that's not Europe at all.
It's not worth going down this rabbit hole any further, but...
I guess I don't know. Jet? Are they a hot young band?
Jet.
What was their... Stone on, bitch, you got a stiff upper lip, you got a something and something. They were trying to be AC/DC, but they kind of sucked. They're Arctic Monkeys, they were on SNL. They seem very British. No. Strokes are from New York. I don't know a lot about music. So anyway, Eurovision will be May 12th on Saturday. So here's the thing. This is going to be a bit of a different one here. Normally, we can plan this stuff out way ahead of time. We could figure out, hey, watch this on Netflix, watch this on Hulu or whatever. Eurovision, I remember last year, it was my first year watching the whole thing. I just had to kind of Google day of, which will be, again, Saturday, U.S. time, like Eurovision live stream. There should be some kind of official thing. I don't know for sure whether you have to have a cable login or whatever. So do what you can on Saturday, because this one's coming in hot, because the episode will go up the next day Sunday, the next morning.
And, you know, it's a long show. Yes. So totally understand if you can't watch it. I think you'll be fine just listening to podcasts if you want, just like a recap / reaction.
Yeah, but there's a lot of visual stuff, a lot of production.
I recommend watching it. It's fantastic. Yes. It is so much fun.
Yeah, so based on just the one we watched last year, there is like a few hours, like 2 or 3 hours, where it's like, here's all these crazy performances from all these different countries. And then there is a long-ass break. I remember it felt like 2 hours at least, where when they're like judging votes. And they're going to replay all the performances like a billion times. Mm-hmm. And then there's the fun like long voting thing where you bring in all these different judges from all these different countries and they're like, okay, we pick, wait, what's the deal? They have their top 10 or they have like 10 points they can give out. There's some term.
Yeah, there's like, they have like a certain amount of, they have like a 10 points, they have a 5 point they can give out, but they like, yeah, something like that.
And then at the end, whoever has the most points wins the whole thing and the prestigious Eurovision crown or whatever.
Yeah.
So we are not experts on it. We've seen it 1 year, but we've been looking forward to it for a whole year after we saw it the first time.
Yeah, it's so much fun.
So that'll be next week. Watch it if you can. Listen to us the next day on Sunday. Again, that is May 12th is the Eurovision stream. So find that however way you can. And if you can, give us the old 5 stars and a review on iTunes. You can follow us at PanTheStream on Twitter. If you got any feedback or suggestions, we are always looking for suggestions for shows that would be good for this. Email us at panningthestream@gmail.com. And thank you again to Tom Monda of Thank You Scientist for the original theme music. We'll be hearing this every week on Panning the Stream. Bianca, thank you as always for joining me.
Of course, honey.
And folks, thanks so much for taking a listen to us. We will see you next week with Eurovision.